Welcome to Nightlife, bite-sized travel.
In Monday Night Travel tonight, we're heading to Bavaria in Germany. Bavaria is a state in the southeast of the country. It borders Liechtenstein, Austria, and the Czech Republic. The state capital, of course, is Munich, known for its annual Oktoberfest beer festival, amongst other things, and plenty of museums. Bavaria is also part of the Romantic Road scenic route, which winds south through pastoral villages and medieval towns. Pam Wright's here to talk about a recent tour, so I guess the best way to do it is to take us along with you. Pam, good evening and welcome to Nightlife.
Good evening, Phil. How are you?
Very well. Now, where did you start?
Well, I flew into Munich and then headed off by bus to a place called Passau, which is in the extreme south, so we're still talking Bavaria.
Mm-hmm.
But it was an interesting drive just to begin with, mainly because of the heaps of buildings and fields of solar panelling. You couldn't help but notice it. There were thousands of them. It's the same throughout Germany, but that sort of took my notice because so many of these panels, and it almost took over from the scenery, but especially because so many buildings in tiny villages had their roofs covered in solar panels, so quite interesting.
Oh, yeah.
But Passau is a city, I guess, Phil. It's on three rivers, on the river Danube, Ilz and the Inn, near the Austrian and Czech borders. They were showing off their food, so they put on a progressive dinner, which took us to an historic brewery, because, I mean, let's face it, Germany and beer go together, and a fancy restaurant on the Inn River for local porcini mushrooms and then duck near the Austrian border. But it was a really pretty town with beautifully coloured houses in pastel colours. It's overlooked by the Vester Oberhaus, which, if you haven't heard of that, is a 13th century hilltop fortress with the city museum and the observation tower. And the old town below is known for its Baroque architecture. So all in all, you can probably picture a good-looking town. And there's a restaurant right on top, which we went to. And we ate these white sausages. They looked rather awful, actually, but you had to peel them, and that was a breakfast treat for the Germans in that area. They're actually boiled, and then you peel them and then eat them. But look, back to Passau, it includes St. Stephen's Cathedral, features distinctive onion-domed towers, and an organ with, I couldn't believe it, 17,974 to be precise, pipes.
Wow.
So very impressive church, and even if you don't like, you know, you're not religious and you don't like going to churches necessarily, this one's really worth looking inside. And I guess, you know, overall, Passau, a city that I hadn't heard much about, was quite impressive.
This the Bavaria is part of this thing, this scenic route called the Romantic Road. What's all that about?
Well, there's a Romantic Road that sort of starts in around about Munich, or Würzburg, I think, is the actual start of it. Mm-hmm. And it winds its way through south, through mostly Bavaria, and it goes through a few medieval towns. So you're sort of going through, staying for perhaps a couple of days. A lot of people drive it, and they choose to stay for as long as they want in each town. But, I mean, I went to Oktoberfest, which wasn't the main reason to go there, because it's sort of like a beer and
Well, actually, that's right. We mentioned that. So you went to Oktoberfest.
I wasn't intending to.
That's in Munich, isn't it?
It's in Munich. And you know what? It's the biggest festival, they say, in the world. That must mean it beats Rio. I'm not sure. But 7 million people go there.
7 million?
It goes from about the 18th of September, I think, through into October. Even though it's called the Oktoberfest, it starts in September. 7 million people go there. Probably about 6.5 million of them get drunk. And
What is it? I mean, I just have this image of it. It's just, people have said it's beer drinking in vast tents.
Well, it absolutely is. Vast tents. Yeah. And of course, you're going to get fed the sausages and the Wiener Schnitzel and, you know, anything else that you can think of. Pork sausages for, you know, which is German. But they're vast tents. They probably fit 1,000 people in them.
Okay.
And then they've got the music. It's not all Umpapa Lederhausen, but people get dressed up for it, and I think that's the big joy of it. They get dressed up in their Lederhausen. I saw quite a few Australians dressed up in their very new Lederhausen. And the girls get dressed up in their, there's a particular name for it. It starts with D, and of course I can't remember it, but it sort of pushes their bosoms up, if you like.
Yes.
And they're very sexy looking, very colourful and very sexy, but lots of beer.
So people drink these giant steins of beer, don't they?
Absolutely.
They have about 2 litres each or something.
It's something like that. You know, I went there when I was 20 and I remember having a fair bit of beer. This time I went when I was over 20, just a little, and I didn't get involved in that. So I think it's more for the young than it is for the older.
Yeah, okay. All right, so you could easily skip that and not miss much, you think?
I could, yes, yeah. Yes, okay. Yes.
Now then on to Rottenburg del Tauber was next on your list.
Yeah, now that is part of the Romantic Road, and it's a beautiful town. It's a bit hard to know whether it's a town or a city, you know. Mm-hmm. They're not very big, though, the towns there, but Rottenburg del Tauber means above the Tauber River. So it's a beautifully preserved city, and only 40% was damaged during World War II. So it's now prospering as a tourist town, which is quite interesting because with 90% income coming from tourism, I can see why too, all the streets are cobbled. Most of the buildings are intricate and made from that wood and plaster. You can probably imagine, you know, the crisscrossy wood, and really pretty looking. And so this used to be because the people were poor and couldn't afford new houses, which now is a good thing because the old houses have become attractive and really attract the tourists in there. So a walk through the old city takes a couple of hours, I suppose, but that just taking in the sights and part of the Tower Trail. There are 42 towers around the city, and from the 11,000 inhabitants of Rottenburg, 2,500 live within the city. So it makes it sort of super friendly. It's full of cafes, has attractive market square in the middle of town, and there's the famous Christmas market. They're all over Europe, but this one is a beauty, held until December the 24th, which is when they celebrate real Christmas. Mm-hmm. Then there's the Medieval Crime and Justice Museum, which is a bit gory, actually. It shows the awful forms of torture that used to happen there. And then they've got this terrific night tour. It's called the Night Watchman's Tour. Mm-hmm. This guy dresses himself in this big, long black cloak and carries a sort of an old-fashioned long axe and strides around town and stops in certain spots and tells you the history of Rottenburg. And it's a fantastic tour. It's only about €8 or $12. So that's one. It's a brilliant idea, actually, because it gets people to listen to the history while he's quite humorous while he does it too. He actually said something about the fact that during the torture, the most unpopular person was the executioner, the second was the gravedigger, but that was fine because they worked well together.
So, yes, so there exactly. You go. And then it was on to Nuremberg. Now, that's a city we've all heard of because of the post-World War II trials.
Yeah, and Nuremberg, it is a city we've all heard of. It's about 500,000 people, I think, Phil. It also has a city wall, mm-hmm. where a small proportion of people live, but most of them live outside Nuremberg. But it's a great walking city through the modern part of town with the latest shops and also some of the older parts. But you've got to remember that 90% of Nuremberg was destroyed during World War II. That's 90%. That's, you know, enormous. But it was repaired fairly quickly due to lots of people putting money into it. So they're as close as possible, the newer buildings, to the original buildings. And quite frankly, you can't tell, unless you're an expert, you can't really tell the difference because they had photographs and they copied them explicitly. Mm-hmm. But I walked through the streets to the hand-marked where there's a small elaborate tower, and that's a very famous thing to see and to do. It's in the market square, and there's a gold ring on top which you can touch and then make a wish. So it's lovely to see all the kids, you know, hanging around doing that for whatever purpose, but it gets you into the square. And you mentioned the criminal trials. Well, I suppose you should go and see them. The trials after World War II were best known, I suppose, was the trial of the major war criminals from 45 to October 46. So it lasted quite a while. Mm. 24 individuals were indicted. But unfortunately, when I was there, something was on in court, so I couldn't go and see it. So I feel like I missed out on quite a bit of Nuremberg. But it's a beautiful walking city,
okay. Got
beautiful shops and quite modern in spots.
You spent time on buses for the first part of the trip, but you also used trains. I imagine the train system in Germany would be terrific, wouldn't it?
Well, you can imagine with the Germans, you know, everything on time. Not probably quite as much as the Swiss. But, yeah, I was with a small group to begin with for the Oktoberfest, etc. But then I decided to get around to Rottenburg and Nuremberg and a few other places by train, which I found fairly easy, as you sort of suggest. But you can get around on a train and hope to get a seat, but at busy times it's worth reserving a seat. I use what they call the Euro Select Pass, which you buy in Australia before you go, and it made it possible for me to use trains in Germany, Austria, or the Czech Republic. That's three bordering countries. Or you can get a German rail pass or vary the number of countries you travel in. So I just suggest that because it's a good idea to get a pass before you go. It's nothing like Japan or anything where you're really crowded onto the trains, but the trains are fantastic. They give you information on where to stand, and so you can get onto them straight away. And of course, they've got nice big windows, and they're beautifully clean, and you can just see out into the countryside. And you can use a U-Bahn as well if you want to be underground. That's in Nuremberg, but I suggest you walk.
Yeah. All right. So, food in Bavaria?
Well, you know, I was hoping to end up with more than schnitzel and sausages, but
unfortunately, that's all there is.
Well, look, the dinner we had in Passau was really good because we had some duck and it was more of a progressive, more modern dinner. But after that, it was pork and sausages. I mean, when I was in Nuremberg, this sounds like I'm a real guts, but I had 9 sausages. But admittedly, they were only 10 centimetres long.
Oh, okay.
So they're served in 3, 6, 8, or 12. That has to be precise. And you have them in a bun or you have them for dinner. So I had 9 of those. But I also went and visited a gingerbread bakery where we made our own gingerbread cookie, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
That was a bit of fun. And that's so popular in Germany, gingerbread. So sausages, gingerbread, schnitzels and sauerkraut were the main things.
Sure. And the people of Bavaria, the people in northern Germany think people in Bavaria are a bit backward.
I think they do, don't they? I mean, something's been happening lately about and there's the Franconians and there's,
That's
you
right.
know, they're fighting between each other and not obviously, of course, when you're a tourist, but the English isn't obviously spoken when you're walking around in the streets, but most Germans understand and speak some English, let's face it. So that's good. And now that, you know, if you need directions, I found them terribly friendly and, you know, great and very overwhelmingly welcoming in restaurants. So pretty good overall.
Is Germany expensive overall, do you think?
Look, I don't. I don't know how you gauge it, really. I sometimes gauge it by how much a cup of coffee is. So it's about the same as Australia. So overall, not too expensive. When I stayed in Rottenburg, for instance, I stayed in an old-fashioned German hotel, which is called the Hornburg, I think, and it was about €90 or $140, and it was for a big room, which included a very nice breakfast. So I reckon that's very reasonable. But of course, with accommodation, they've got 5-star in certain cities, but not in Rottenburg, for instance, and they'll never let 5-star chains come in because they want to keep that historic look, and I think that medieval look, and I think that's fantastic. But overall, not too expensive, not like other European countries.
Mm. So did you come back with a pair of lederhosen or the push-up dress?
No, look, you know what? Some of the people I was with, they did go and get the push-up dress. I wish I could remember the name of it. But they looked terrific. And they. But see, what happens at this damn Oktoberfest is they all get up on the chairs and dance. And what happened to me was I was scared that they were going to fall on me, so I sort of had to move away from the active area. But no, it would be fun to – I don't think I'd know where to ever wear it though, Philip.
All right, we've been in Bavaria with Pam Wright. Pam, good to talk. Thank you.
Lovely. Thanks, Phil.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.